I'd like to call your attention to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verses 5 and 6. This, of course, is the women at the tomb of Jesus. And as they came to take care of his, preparing his body, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, even so as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, even as he said." Why was the earthquake and the angel, why were they there to roll away the stone? Of course, it was not for Jesus to come out of the tomb, but it was for the women to be able to go in and to witness and to see the proof that he was not yet dead, but that he rose from the dead. Every phrase of these verses have meaning and significance of "even so he said," even so as he said. Even so, as he said, he would die on the cross, he'd be buried, and he'd rose again. Even so, he said, "I lay my life down, but I will take it up again." And it was even so as he said. Through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus proved himself to be the promise-keeping Son of God. Again, only he could have the power to lay his life down and take it up again. His promises are recorded, and it will be even so as he said. Look at the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse number 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." It was as he said. Even so, it was. Look at Matthew 16 and verse number 21. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." It was even so as he said. Look at John 10, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And it was even so as he said that it would be. He could raise from the dead on his own power. And it was even so again, as he said. Look at John 14 and verse number 19. "Yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." The world doesn't see him, but those that are his see him and know that he lives. Know that he is who he said he was. And even so, as he said, he laid his life down, took it up again, and it was as he said. His enemies remembered his words and tried to prevent his resurrection. Look at Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses beginning with verse number 62. Matthew chapter 27 and beginning with verse number 62. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will raise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, and go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They tried to keep him. Think about this. Man has the idea that he has more power than God. Has the idea that he can keep him in a tomb. Listen, his power was so great he didn't even have to have the stone rolled away. And he come out of that tomb. In spite of all that man could do, in spite of it being sealed by the power of the greatest empire that had existed on earth at that time, the most powerful, and yet that power could not overcome the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God. He is God. He is the creator of all things. He's the creator of you and me, by the way. Some people have the wrong idea. They think we just happen to come into existence. Listen, my friend, God molds and shapes us in the womb. You say, well, then he molds and shapes some people that are deformed. No, he molds and shapes and makes that little baby perfect. But then sin, the effects of sin, creates the deformation. That's what happens. Not God. He's not to blame. The world, man wants to blame God on it. Then blaming God will bring his power down. But you can't overcome the power of God. His disciples forgot his words and thought the battle was lost. But Christ kept his word. He proved himself the Son of God. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Are you noticing a theme here? The resurrection revealing and showing the power of God over death, hell, and the grave, brother, is manifest. And listen, that's why lost sinners need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he has the power, though they die, to raise them again once to life. He has the power to raise them out of the condemnation and the sealing of sin for eternity, from death unto life. He has the power to change their eternal destiny from a place called hell that he created for the devil and his angels didn't intend man to go there, and yet man is going there and going to go there because he refuses to believe and trust in Jesus. He refuses to submit to the fact that the power of God, Jesus Christ is God, is greater than anything man can produce. Brother Mike was saying to his class, put your faith in Jesus. Don't put it in man. He read there in the Psalms where it says, if you put faith in man, man has no power. Put it in God. There's where the power is. And it will be even so as he said. Because it was even so as he said. Christ kept his word. And he proved himself to be the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He gave blessed assurance to all who trust in him. And that's the key. Other promises of Jesus were fulfilled, as he said. The transfiguration. Look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew chapter 16. Verse number 28. Matthew 16 and 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Notice how man instinctively wants to exalt man, at least on an equality with God. There's no equalness between God and man. There's only mercy that will draw us to him, and then hopefully we'll set at his side. But we'll not be elevated equal to or above him. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Even so, as he said, they saw him. He left this old world and he come back in. They saw him coming in his kingdom as even so as he said that he would. And that they would see him in this coming. There's a great drought of fishes. We've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Look at Luke 5 and 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now he told him, launch out into the ship. Verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the ship and let down your nets for a draught. And so much fish that they couldn't pull it in. It was even so as he said. You know, it will be even so as he said to you and me. Did you know that even so he said is in the scripture, in the word of God, and he's saying it to you and me. You say, well, does it all apply to mankind? In general, it applies to all mankind. In particular, it applies to New Testament church members. But it was even so, as he said, healing of the nobleman's son. The question was, what time did he begin to get well? Look at John 4, verse 49. John chapter 4. The nobleman said to him, Sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Isn't that interesting? My goodness, it was even so as he said. He said to this nobleman who was far away from his son, who was on his deathbed, he said, even so it was as he said. Even so, it was at the hour he said it. Even so. By the way, that's instant healing. And don't get deceived by our faith healers of today. Takes them time to get you healed, which is never unless the Lord intervenes. Instantly, it was even so as he said, the very minute that he said it. And this nobleman inquired, and there it was. He couldn't help but believe. He saw the power of God. You know what? Lost people need to see the power of God today. You know what? God's people need to see the power of God today. He's still on his throne. What are you so downtrodden for? What are you making yourself miserable for? Look to Jesus. Believe and trust his word and what he said, because it'll be even so as his word says it will be. And brother, you put your faith and trust in him, and there is no problem, there's no trouble, there's no ordeal, there's no misery, there's no suffering that he cannot give you the grace to see you through and bring you out on the other side stronger than when it first began. Now that's the facts of the matter. And it'll be even so as he said. The destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew 24, verse number 2. Matthew 24 and verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Talking about the temple. The temple there in Jerusalem. And it was even so as he said. AD 70, the Roman emperor come down and took over that land and destroyed the temple. And we were privileged a few years ago to be on that very spot and to be able to look and to see where those stones fell. And by the way, those stones were the size of a bus, some of them. And they fell, and you could see where they had indented the old pavement there, where they'd excavated. Even so, it was as he said, there was not one and is not one stone left on that temple today. You say, well, but what about that wall over there that's so important? Wait a minute. That's the foundation. That's not the building. And there's not one stone left on that building. It's even so as he said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, let's understand that. Jesus is the same. He's not. Wait a minute. He's the same as far as standard, as far as principle, as far as doctrine, as far as teaching, as far as concept, as far as all standards that he has set. He's the same. They've not changed. But he can change his mind. If you'll recall, Israel got so bad that he was going to destroy them and raise up a nation under Moses. And Moses pleaded with God, and he repented and changed his mind and didn't destroy them. So you see, even though your sin may be so bad that it would make God upset and hurt and angry even, then bless your heart, it isn't so great as he cannot forgive it. He may even determine to take your life, but he could repent if you'd get your life straightened out. But his standards are the same. Never change. His truths are the same. It never changes. Men are trying to change his truth all the time in this day and time. But his truths never change. His standards never change, never vary. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 24 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." That's 24. Begin with verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." It is even so as Jesus said. I don't have to elaborate on it. All you have to do is look around. Look at this world. Look at what's going on worldwide. It is even so as he said. By the way, John 14:6, he said, "I will come again." It'll be even so as he said. Soon. Because the signs are there. The coming of Jesus is at hand. Lost friend, if you're going to get saved, you need to do it now. You don't want to face the 7 years of tribulation, where it's a time of trouble like there never has been or ever shall be on this earth. The misery and suffering, and a fourth of the population of the world will die all at once. We think the 3,000 or so the towers were destroyed is terrible. Nothing to compare with what's going to go on during the tribulation period and the catastrophe that will take place. Wars, rumors of wars. It's even so as he said. He's coming again. It'll be even so as he said, because he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." Luke 13 and 3 and 5. Except ye repent. They were talking about somebody having a great sin, greater than another. But he said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." In other words, there's no greater sinner and lesser sinner. We're all sinners. We're going to perish because we're sinners, because we will do nothing to let the power of God through him change our sinful nature and our sinful condition. And he can do that because it's even so. As he said, all nations one day will be divided in sheep and goat nations at the end of the tribulation period. And it'll be even so as he said. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He asks you to come, that he can relieve you of that burden that sin has brought you into. If you'll let him, he has the power to lift that burden from you. I remember the time that he lifted it from me. And I'll tell you, there was no greater relief that I've ever experienced in my life than when that happened. Yes, sir. Lost friend, you're carrying a load of sin without realizing. It's bearing you down, but you don't realize it. Well, you need to awake and you need to realize it, because he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is repentance? It's from the heart turning from self and sin and whatever else it is that you are inserting in your life, and whatever power you're following to make your life bearable and livable and or enjoyable. But listen, those things will not do that for you. Only Jesus will do it. And we have to turn away from that with all of our heart and turn and trust Jesus. Turn and believe and trust in him wholeheartedly. We got to give up self. Did you know our greatest enemy is not Satan? It's ourself. It's that old sinful nature that we have. It's natural for us to rebel. But he can overcome that for us. We cannot do it for ourselves. This doing good and being good, the religion of today, that's what it's based on. It's based on how good man can do. Listen, true religion and undefiled is based on what Jesus has done.
Right.
And putting your faith and trust in that is exactly what it is. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. That's his invitation. And he'll give you rest. He promised. It'll be even so as he said, if you'll do it. The kings of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord one of these days. It'll be even so as he said. The final resurrection will take place. He said to his church, I'll go prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. And he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It'll be even so as he said. There's a factual basis for our hope in Christ Jesus. God's people and their eternal life is not based on speculation or opinion. It's based on fact. And the fact that it'll be even so as Jesus said. Believest thou this, he says? You better. The promise of God standeth sure. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You need to think about it. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know what that means? That's an eternity separated from God and all that's good in a place called hell, where there's fire and brimstone and darkness, misery and suffering, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Or in other words, the individual that's in hell will not go out of existence. He'll not perish, but he'll perish continually forevermore. Well, that's terrible. My God's a God of love. Wait a minute. This action is out of love, because sin is destructive, and it'll be destructive eternally. And some sinners are so given over that they're of a reprobate mind and they can't help but sin, because they're not willing to overcome. And listen, unless he destroys them and sin in this place called hell, mankind will have to deal with this for eternity. And listen, he took the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden, put a guard around it so that Adam and Eve wouldn't have to spend their life in the miseries of sin. And Jesus, he's our tree of life. We come to him and partake by faith, trust in what he said. Then he can save us. Then he can make changes that will be lasting forever, if you just will. Child of God, if you're here, you've been saved, you need scriptural baptism, unite with New Testament church, you need to come. You need to come, because one of these days you're going to face Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that there will be some that are lose all of their reward, and they'll be just saved yet so as by fire. And there will be some who will have crowns and rewards to lay at the feet of Jesus and tell him he's worthy. My friend, when we get to that day, if you're a child of God, you'll regret not coming to Jesus. You'll regret not surrendering your life. You'll regret not letting him know how much you love and appreciate him for what he's done. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother? The invitation is open to you. If you're here and lost, come to Jesus. If you're here and saved, come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to this church. I'm not asking you to come to this preacher or this people. All we can do is point you to Jesus. He's the one that has the power to make the difference in your life. He's the one that has the power to take away the grief and misery if you'll just let him. But it's got to be with the heart. Thank you for your attendance and attention. And again, everyone.